cool thing is, I know I'm amongst friends, I know I'm amongst family, I know I'm standing in a room full of amazing people, I know I'm actually standing in a room full of people who I believe are going to be part of changing something really significant in this state. And do you want to be part of that? Do you want to be part of God doing something in an incredible way over the next season? I mean, you have all done all sorts of things. You've made sacrifices. You have laid things down. Some of you have been around a long time and you can look back at some incredible achievements. And that's fantastic. That stands there as a monument to God's faithfulness and the past. But right now, we're all here together. Right now, we stand where we are. And there is a future ahead of us. And ultimately, as kingdom people, it will be about our obedience. It will be about our courage. It will be about us understanding what is our next. So I want to ask you a really serious question. Are you able to articulate, are you able to write down what is your next? You know, is it? Because you know what I think as ACC churches, I think as kingdom people, it's not good enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to be faithful to what God says. I'm just going to be faithful. You know, being faithful is the one talent servant. Being faithful is that, you know, that servant didn't lose the money. He didn't go away. He didn't fall off his perch. He didn't spend it on booze. He put it in the ground and he got it out again and he handed it back to the master. Do we want to be one talent servants? Do we want to be the servants that say at the end of our season, all right, Lord, I have given you back what you gave me, I have been faithful. Because you know what? That's not our calling. That is not our calling. So what is your next? Can you articulate your next? As leaders, I've heard something said which is very apt, it's very simple. But the people that we lead, what are you trying to do with them? And we're trying to actually, at any point when we're leading people, is we're trying to move them one step closer to God's purpose for their life. But the problem is, as ministers and pastors, you see people stuck, don't you? You see people that you're trying to lead, but it's like somebody has glued their feet to the footpath. Like Mark saying, you know, I'm a plodder, but at least his feet are moving. At least they're going.
Now you're preaching.
Don't get me started on bike stories.
Amen.
I'm a token runner because I've got a cheap Garmin watch on my hand, and that's, you know, that's just the backup in case my bike computer goes down. We saw, you know, runners have their watches. Us cyclists are very connected to this little 1-inch screen on our handlebars. Tells us everything. Our whole world is tied up in that.
That's true.
And then we get home. And we suffer the ridicule of our wife. And we go through this portal into a bigger world called Strava. And if you're not a runner or a cyclist, you don't know what we're talking about, but it's a lot better than Facebook. You know what? I don't think it's good enough to be stuck. What did Jesus say about being stuck? And I think as kingdom people, you know, we can actually be a bit more pragmatic about this, because Jesus was quite pragmatic. When he sent out his disciples into ministry in Matthew 10:23, he said, when you are persecuted, hey, write that down, when, not if. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will not return before you have reached all the towns in Israel. Jesus does not want anybody to be stuck. A little side point, don't go around trying to attract persecution. It will find you soon enough. But if we're stuck or it's not working, what do? Move. If we're stuck, if it's not working, what do? Move. If we're stuck, if it's not working, what do? Move. And Mark had a fantastic message. Make sure you download that. Make sure you get it in. That self-assessment. Is it working? If it's not, move. We've just this building here. God's been good to us. We've got a contract on this building. We've got an amazing price for us. It's subject to a developer getting a DA and a couple of things that have got to happen for that to happen. But, you know, we've been blessed by this building. It's given us great equity. It's done all sorts of things. But in a whole lot of ways, it's not working. It hasn't been working for a long time. And we've been, you know, wrestling. Do we do this? Do we do that? And, you know, lots of board meetings, all that. But at the end of the day, we get a price. We say, okay, it's not working. Move. It's not working. We're going to go to somewhere that God is leading us. Yep, it's a faith journey, but we've got to move. And for some of you this morning, God is saying, what you're doing right now is okay. It is faithful. But you know what? The next season is you to move. Is you to say, you know, I'm going to pick my feet up and I'm going to go. I'm not going to stay here doing the same thing and expecting God to break through when I haven't moved. You know, I think for many of us, the season isn't the sleeping season. The season is the daytime season where we say, you know what, we're going to get in and we're going to have a crack. We're going to have a bit of a go and then we're going to let God do his work. You know, I think too many Christians, okay, you know, God's doing it, and I'm sitting back with my hands off the wheels, wondering why the car's swerving all over the road. Get your hands on the wheels. Let's have a go. Let's have a crack. Joshua, the great general that led Israel into the promised land, had lived pretty much his life to that point, to when he stepped up to his time in two seasons. The first season he was a slave. And Bible commentators say that he was probably hidden in the Nile River in much the same way that Moses was. And so he knew what it was like to be a slave. He knew what it was like not to own anything. He knew what it was like not to have to be able to plan much because you didn't get a chance to plan. You just got told what to do and you did it. He knew what it was like to be punished. He knew what it was like not to be have your work recognized. He just knew what it was like to be a slave. The second season of his life was a season of transition. Again, it was a season where he didn't have to make that many decisions. He just had to follow. And we're told that, his whole people, they're following a cloud. And there's manna on the ground. And he was serving Moses. And there was a whole lot of good things that I could talk about what he did. But it was a season of transition. And his whole people group were going somewhere, but they hadn't arrived. He knew about the wilderness. He knew about transition. He knew about wandering. He knew about survival. He knew about God's provision. But he had never experienced possession. As a slave, he never got to own anything. As a nomad, he didn't have a lot. They were in a season of transition. And right at this moment, God is saying, I want you to go from being a slave, I want you to come out of a season of transition, and I want you to come into a season of possession. And the difference was Moses was incredible. Moses represented salvation. Moses represented freedom from oppression. Moses represented a law that was going to establish patterns and help people know how they could live in a different way. But Joshua was a different man. Joshua was a new season. Joshua didn't represent the law. Joshua represented possession. Joshua represented freedom. Joshua represented promise. Joshua represented, Mark, rest. Joshua represented being in that place where God was actually going to do something incredible. But despite all his misfortune and the fact that he was born a slave, he was born a victim, when it was his moment, he stepped up. When it was his time, he stepped up. And I think as we move into the future from here, why not decide this morning that you're not going to spend another day another year, even another minute in slavery or transition. And I think one of the things as churches, we're very good. Oh, we're in transition. Well, we're always in transition. We're always going to be in transition, but we also need to be in possession. Let's decide that we're not going to spend another day being in bondage to something, whether that's finances, whether that's fear, whether that's insecurity, whether that's unhealthy relationships or controlling relationships, whether that's lethargy. Last year at our conference in Devonport, I probably shared with some of you that in our church we started to speak on breakthrough because we felt that we just needed to step into that place of breakthrough. And what I didn't anticipate was that God said, I want to actually do that in you, Dave, before we do it in the church. And before I came into ministry, I'd had a season in business and enjoyed that. There was a lot I loved about that. And I was in a team and an atmosphere where business was important. You know, our senior leader at the time was someone who was successful in business and had the capacity to be able to lead a church as well. And there was all that stuff going on. That was what I was in. I loved my job, and God called me into this. But the transition out of that wasn't necessary, even though God was blessed as we sold the business and got good money for it. But there was a sense of some disappointment in some partnerships and things that I had in business. And I found for a season that I was putting everything into ministry, but I'd switched off from our personal finances in many ways. And we had this lovely little cottage that we lived in. And we loved it. We loved being where we were. But there was a sense of we were just stuck. And we felt like, yeah, we knew we could do things, but it all just seemed too hard. And as I started to preach on this stuff, God really spoke to us. And, you know, many of you know that our journey that we took on, we've taken on some foster children. Our little cottage wasn't going to work anymore. And there were some other things there. And Alex got a real sense that, hey, we've got to go. We've got to do this. And I'm thinking, Alex, you know, I've got to finish all this stuff on the house. I've got to do all this stuff and ministry and all that. But anyway, we did. We bit the bullet and we said, okay, we're going to do it. God was in it. We had a blitz on our house. Came up like a beautiful little cottage, new pin, got so much done in 3 weeks. And it was like Mark was talking about, you know, it was a season of going hard. Alex thought I was the biggest slave driver in the world. You know, we were on a deadline and we were doing all this stuff and we were going for it. And you know, God bless us. We got an amazing price for this little cottage in Lenner Valley and able to move into a new house. You know what? Since that season, since that movement, there is a sense where we do not feel stuck. And God has actually turned our finances around as we've decided that we're not going to be stuck. Because you know what? He does not want you to be stuck. There is always somewhere you can move and there's always somewhere you can go. Let's not spend another day, another year living as a victim. Let's not spend another year living in the past. See, the first thing that God says to Joshua when it's his time, and you know, God is so compassionate to him. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm Joshua's thinking, well, I know that, don't I? I'm grieving it, and you're just saying he's dead. Therefore, the time has come for you. And I think this is a prophetic word for people here this morning. The time has come for you. Jacob and William. Who knows Jacob and William? Why don't you guys stand up? These guys are awesome. They have pioneered a church in Launceston among Myanmar or Burmese people, doing an amazing job in a position to, you know, they're buying a building. They're doing all sorts of incredible things. You know, we're, and they're moved to Australia. They don't know a lot about it when they got here, but God is using them in a mighty way. You too, your time has come. Continue to stand, continue to go forward. God has got His Spirit on you and He's going to do incredible things through you guys. Come on, keep going. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead the people of the Israelites across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I have promised you what I've promised Moses. Wherever you set foot on this land I have given you, from the Negev to the wilderness in the southern, south of Lebanon mountains, in the north of the Euphrates River, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one, isn't that, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. This is the way God speaks to someone when they're about to step up. My Bible tells me that our God doesn't change. That He's yesterday, same yesterday, today, and forever. He is speaking to you the same this morning. I will not fail you. I will not lead you. I will be with you. And then He says this, be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I'll give them. Be strong and very courageous. He says it again. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Turn either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in all you do. We could talk a lot about that. This is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. I'm skipping a few verses here. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and you will take possession of the land the Lord God has given you. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. Wow. He has given you this land. Your wives, children and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest. And I think there's some words here for some people this morning where, you know what? You are going to stand alongside others as they take new territory. There are leaders and churches here where God has resourced you, He's given you courage, and He's going to ask you to stand alongside people as we take new territory in the state of Tasmania. Come on. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned to you. All right, step into your next, to embrace what's next for you. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. Number one, and this is not rocket science, it's just true. Let the past go. Number one, let the past go. Let it go. And something we say that to people when they're thinking about pain of the past, but sometimes it's actually just about letting the glory of the past go. Sometimes it's about letting the amazing things go. And saying, you know what, we are in a new season. Let it go. Moses was a giant. He was huge, you know. People lined up to get his wisdom at his tent. And you know, there was like, there was nobody. There was no other Hebrew like Moses. He was the man. He was a giant. He had achieved greatness. He would be honored and celebrated forever. And we all have these giants that loom over us in some way. The person that came before you. You know, I stepped into a church of a charismatic leader that had a personality, that had done some great things, you know. And for many years, that was like a giant. And that's no reflection on him. It was just a legacy that was there. You know, that was a giant that loomed. And there's a sense where you've got to say, okay, it's not about being controlled by that. It's about us stepping into the season that is ahead of us. We all have different giants that loom over us in some ways. You know, your past, your family. Jesus, his own family, could have been a giant in his life. He gets out and he ministers. He does these amazing things. And his family, when he comes home, the people that know him the most, that should be cheering him on, are saying, Jesus, I think you should tone it back a bit. Come on. Come on, pull it back. You've had enough fun now. You know, just bring it back. We've all got these things in our lives that will do that to us. But this new season was a Joshua season, not a Moses season. And I think as leaders, let's know that the season that we're in, God has equipped us and called us for this season. It's not the season of somebody else. It's not the season of the past. See, Moses represented the law, consequences and rebellion and disobedience. Joshua represented possession. He represented promise. He represented future. Joshua didn't dishonor Moses. He stood on the past. But when it was his turn, he stepped up into his calling. God's word doesn't change. His promises stand forever. But our methods are not sacred, are they? Seasons conclude and commence. And I think we're going to understand that we are very much in interesting days and new seasons. I think somebody said, I think it was you, Paul, in our pastor's intensive, that, you know, we're being told that we live in a post-truth era. And Paul reflected on his father-in-law, his pastor, got radically saved out of a brethren church. Well, not radically saved out of a church. I think he was saved in the church, despite what brethren think. But he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, back then it was just convicting people of sin, the whole Billy Graham thing, and people came in their droves and got saved. We've got a generation that don't believe in sin. How do we communicate to that generation? The truths of God stand forever, but our methods are not sacred, are they? Psalm 45:16. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom I shall make princes in the land. The Message Bible says, set your mind now on your sons. Don't dote on the father or the grandfather. You'll set up sons as princes all over the earth, and I will make you famous for generations. You'll be the talk of the town for a long time. Let's not beatify the past. Let's always be looking forward. Now, I think where we are as a movement in the state, there's a couple of things that we have really, really got to focus on. We have got to focus on the next generation more than we think. And I know a lot of you are doing it, but have a look around the room here. It's not young enough. I'm going to pray for you now. And I believe that we're just going to get the years taken. Oh, God is going to wind back time. I'm not talking about that. I want all of you here, and I want you people here for years to come, and you've got so much to offer and so much that you bring, and I so value that. When we stepped into our church, I thought, okay, we've got a great group of young adults, and I relate to that, but the people that stood up beside Alex and I and have been so solid have been our baby boomers. And we're all getting older. But what I'm saying is what we've got to do is make sure that we don't go, we stay. See, transition isn't about one generation going and another one just replacing them. It is about us staying and another one coming up in and among us. And we need to see more and more of that. And we've got to be intentional about that. We've been talking as a state executive team. What's that look like at bringing people through onto that? We've got a situation, actually, where we haven't got enough people. We've got a whole great generation coming through that are credentialed, but they haven't had credentials long enough to actually serve on a state executive. It wouldn't work out how we can actually bring people on and get that next generation infused into where we're going. We've got to do that intentionally. And I'm asking you, if you've been around for a while, stand with us. Stand beside us as we do that, as we bring the next generation through. It's absolutely imperative. Let's not beatify the past. Let's see it as a monument to God's faithfulness, but let's look at at the princes and the princesses and the next generation in the land. You know, that we can set up a generation to go further than we've ever imagined, to do incredible things. You know, let's be those people, because we've got to do that. It is time. It is something that we stand on as a state at the moment. To embrace your next, number two, this was a big one for Joshua. You got to believe you're the one. Believe you're the one. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown." Doesn't say you won't get wet. It doesn't say you won't get cold. It doesn't say you won't get scared. It just says you won't drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up and the flames will not consume you. Wow. Alex said it this morning, you know, we do. We have seasons like that. And it's not all the time. Sometimes we think we're in it all the time, but it's not all the time. But we're not going to be consumed. You are called. You are His. You are protected. You will make it. To embrace what's next for you, number three, step into your time. Your time. Your time. Run your race. Yep. Run in your lane. See, as wonderful as it would have been for Mark running with Eloise, if they went off and decided to run a half marathon together, they could go out together for a while, but if Mark wants to finish, with all due respects to Mark, there's a time that he's actually even got to come back to that very, very special watch on his arm and understand what his pace is and say, "I'm going to run to that pace." There's something I've done when I've done some of the big, hard endurance rides is I've found something that works for me is that I actually go out with the fast bunch, and it's a bit different to what you might think in running, but I know that there's a certain distance that I can get on in the slipstream of others. I can stay there and I can cover some K's really quickly, and it's like there are times that God puts you in the slipstream of others. There are times that He puts you there and He says, "Come on, go. I'm going to take you beyond what you can do by yourself. I'm going to launch you into something." But what happens is we hit the hills, and in cycling, the hills are the great leveler. There is no place to hide on a hill. It is just about the amount of watts, power, that these legs can put out and how heavy you weigh. It's as simple as that. And at that point, I've got to know what my threshold is. I've got to know what I can ride to, or I will blow up and I won't finish. You know, we've got to decide we're going to run our race. We're going to step into our time, because you know what? God has got a sphere and He has got a slipstream and He's got a place where you can do, and you can do it well, and you won't blow up. You step into your time and you'll be amazed at what God will do. Joshua would have been overwhelmed. He had a million people on the wrong side of the Jordan River. And God said, "Hey, Joshua, step up. The time has come for you to lead the people. No one else is going to do it. I've called you." And there are things that we're going to face very, you know, you're probably going back to something this week in your church, your ministry, when God's saying, you know, "You've got something here, but it's your time. I'm with you. It's not actually somebody else's role. You do it. You step up, because I'm going to be with you. I've called you to get them to the other side." So embrace your next. Step up with strength and courage. Don't just... I think so often we so tentatively do that, don't we? We just sort of, okay, I'm on here. You know, Matt could introduce me to speak. Our state president's coming up now. He's just got something to say, and you know, you step up. But you know, he does it with conviction, and then when you step into that with conviction and strength and courage. When we step up, let's step up with that sort of strength and courage. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people. See, this bold courage was not Joshua himself, but God in him. And again, I'm not telling you something that you don't know. I'm just telling you something that we've got to get hold of and make sure we live it out. You know, it is God in you who is your strength. That is why you can step up with courage. That is why you can take those things on. I think when we're full of self-confidence, it brings us unstuck. But when we're full of God confidence, you can step up because you have been chosen. You can be strong because God is always with you. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. It's a command. It wasn't like, oh, develop strength and courage. Yeah. It was just like, sometimes you've got to say, I am going to be strong and courageous. Yes. I am scared to whatever. I'm not at a Queensland regional meeting, so I won't say. Be strong, courageous, because God's in you. See, God can place it there, but we have got to be it. We've got to be it. You don't have to have the strength because He has, but you've got to be strong and courageous. Hey, going to love this one. To embrace your next almost is the dichotomy of what I've been saying. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. When I was a younger guy, I just wanted to drive cars fast. And obviously there are speed limits and things in place, and it caused me a lot of trouble. And somehow the reason it caused me trouble for longer than some people is I felt it was my right. I felt like I was born for this. And somewhere along the line, I got a bit of a conviction about it, and I realised it's... Yeah, the Holy Spirit by the name of Alex. Yeah. And I don't think that anymore. But because of the way I've sort of wired and what I've been through, I've got to be very careful. I'd be more careful than most of you, because it just comes natural. And when I, you know, occasionally, you know, I have a little lapse, and I can be really down. Oh, I'm so unlucky. No, you just got to be more careful. And we're all going to have things in our life because of what we've been through and where we've been. We've got to say, be careful to obey. See, I'm not going to make excuses for I'm a victim because, you know, I was born that way. I was wired that way. That's what I used to think. No, just be careful. And sometimes stuff goes wrong because we're not careful enough. Here's another one again, a bit in the same vein. To embrace your next, be diligent. Study the book of instruction. Know what it says. Know how it works. Meditate on it day and night. Have it in your system. Then, you know, rather than, like, just use my silly speeding example, where the natural thing that comes out of me when I'm not thinking about it is just to go fast. The natural thing that will come out of it is the presence of God and His, you know, His culture and His understanding and what the Word says, because, you know what, it's in us. To embrace your next, number 7, he says this. He says, do not deviate turning either to the left or the right, is that we've got to be straight. Be straight. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be a straight person. I think the thing that erodes confidence in us as leaders more and more is when people don't know what they're going to get. When they don't know how we're going to respond from one day to the next. I mean, if you're a grumpy person, just be grumpy all the time. Then they know what they're getting.
That's what I'm working on.
But come on. You need to know your next. And decide we're not going to deviate from it. Yeah, God will show us things, but essentially he's got a path and he's got things that are there and he just wants us to be straight up and down people. And I think the society that we're living in at the moment, we are not to fear it. And I believe our best days are ahead of us because, you know, there's so much stuff going on in this post-truth society where people are going to be more confused than ever. And, you know, somebody who is straight is going to be refreshing. Not someone who's judgmental, right. Not someone who's coming down on people, not somebody who is antiquated in their thinking and stuck in the past. No, somebody that knows eternal truths, has them in their heart and is straight with that and is confident with that and approaches those things knowing that we are going to come through this. Because what did Jesus say about his church? He said, I will build my church. And the gates of political Marxism, social won't prevail against it. Whatever it is, it won't prevail against his church. Come on, this is our time in Tasmania. This is our time to know our next. This is our time to bring through the next generation. This is our time to work out, you know, as churches, how we're doing okay in our major centres, but how do we have a presence in our rural areas? How do we have a presence down the East Coast where there's, you know, a whole lot of people that live there spread out, but how do we connect with them? Yeah, it's going to take new ways. And it's not just having a church in a hall there. That's probably not the answer. But a presence, connection, relationship, understanding, thinking new ways is actually going to have that. How do we reach our West Coast? How do we make sure that we are bringing through a generation who are not interested in hearing about their sin? Let's know what they are interested in. Let's know how we can reach them because we will and we are poised for amazing days. And I think, and of course a state president would say this, but I say it with conviction and I say it really knowing that I just think we've actually been through a season where in our state here in Taz, we've done a lot of work as far as getting our house in order goes. And we've got a fantastic team. Well, is Pastor Gus in here? Gus, just in the moment, I so want to honour you.
Yes.
So want to thank you. And I just, for the servant that Gus is to our state, to somebody who does all the things that I don't do well, exceptionally, and has worked tirelessly about getting us in a great place and in a confident position. Some of that stuff has actually been a little awkward. But I think, you know what, we're in a healthy place. And we're in a place where we can launch into incredible things in the next season. And let's make sure what we're building out of is out of strength and sustainability. Because I think we can do that. I think perhaps, you know, in the past we've gone off on whims and, oh yeah, let's get a church here and do that and all those things. But let's do it out of strength and sustainability. You know, we've got new models that go on at the moment and perhaps they challenge our thinking in some ways. But you know what? It is actually bringing strength and sustainability to what we do. So let's, you know, let's embrace where we are. Let's embrace the future.
Yeah.
And let's go for it, knowing that our best days are ahead of us. Absolutely. And I believe over these next 2 years, we're actually going to see some really innovative, exciting, incredible things that go on in our state.
Yeah.
But let's be ready for it. Let's know you're next. Let's have that clearly written down, and let's know that you can step up with the strength and the courage of Almighty God who has called you. And he says right now, this is your time. This is your season. We're not in a season of transition. Yeah. We're not in a season of slavery, but we are in a season of possession. Let's go for it. It is ours.
Amen.
Under the authority of God, with humility, to take on. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for just the amazing privilege it is to be in your kingdom, to be your ministers,
yep,
to be your leaders, to be your people. Thank you that we're part of an amazing, amazing family. Thank you for our movement. I thank you for our national team. I thank you for Pastor Wayne. I thank you for the sacrifice that so many have made, people that have gone before them. And I thank you that we stand in an incredibly privileged and fortunate position. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would convict us now where we can actually articulate our next, and that we will move into that with strength and courage and humility and unity and innovation. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic.